Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Okay, Disability Action Week, that's 24 November right through to 1 December. And Disability Advocate calls for urgent social inclusion improvement. We need to step up in that space is what I'm saying. Yes, we do. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Daily Brother, Jonas Lutkic, quadriplegic and disability advocate. And we have Jonas on the line. Jonas, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm doing pretty well. Can't complain. Lovely. And warm here in Cairns.
In Cairns. You're in Cairns. Yes, sir. So am I. So thank you very much. Look, thank you for coming to the program. So we're talking about Disability Action Week, 24 November, 1 December. Now, you are quadriplegic and you're a disability advocate. First of all, let's talk about you. How did you become a quadriplegic, my friend?
Oh, Trevor, been about 10 years ago. I used to be a professional scuba dive instructor and skydive instructor in Cairns. So I was taking people for skydives, basically, over beautiful far north Queensland. Mm. And I was training 10 years ago for the Nationals in York, in WA, Western Australia. Mm. And I had a mid-air collision on a training jump with a friend and unfortunately dislocated my C6, C7 vertebrae and acquired became a quadriplegic, basically, mid-air free-falling. And, yeah, I'm pretty lucky to be still alive, basically. And
well, exactly.
Yeah, that's
you're
how it basically happened.
You're still with us. Fantastic. And, look, you now have become an advocate because of the accident. And look, disabled or not, quadriplegic or not, you can still live life. And that's exactly what you're doing, Jonas.
100%, Trevor. You know, it's like, as we say, shit happens, you know. And it's
yes.
just it takes a long time, and it's a process to get through that initial stage of acquiring such injury, because it is a pretty heavy thing you've got to deal with, and a lot of stuff changes in your life. And
yes,
obviously I live that life now, and it's basically the club no one wants to be part of for out of free will, you know. We just get thrown into it. But I met a lot of really amazing people with disabilities. Like personally, I can only speak about spinal cord injuries, obviously. So yeah, it's close to my heart, and it's important. I think it's important for society and our community we live in to be inclusive and, yeah, be more inclusive. You know, it makes everything better for everyone. That's just my personal opinion.
Exactly. And look, my beautiful grandfather used to say, are you living or are you just waiting to die? Look, we wake up this morning, so that means you're alive. Let's live life. And you're doing exactly that. You mentioned off air that you got a business up and running. So entrepreneur, there you are. Tell us what you do, what business it is.
Yeah, mate. So it's just like, it just started off. It's pretty grassroots still, and I'm trying to see who is part of the journey. So basically what it is, I used to be a keen kite flyer, so I love flying kites. It gives me a way to still connect to the skies and the air and the air movement, which I just always was passionate about. It. That's what I was being a skydiver.
Yes.
And skydiving, basically. So, yeah, I started originally a kite school, which turned into a kite school and Lego building club, social hub. So what I'm trying to do at the moment is building a social hub where people with disability or without disability or any color and shape to come together and just brainstorm ideas and see how we can make Cairns a better place or the far north for that
beautiful.
Point.
Beautiful, beautiful. And have you always lived in Cairns, Jonas?
No, originally I'm from Germany, actually, and I came when I landed in Australia in Sydney on my 20th birthday.
Guten Tag, Germany.
Yeah, guten Tag, that's right. So I lived in Australia since like the last 16 years.
Yes.
You know, I had a lot of really cool experiences. I worked at a cattle station up in Buralula. Frank Shatford is his name, and I'm original too, and absolutely amazing, and like, you know, like, this is home now for me.
Good.
And
yes.
Yeah, I want to help shape it, make it inclusive and better, you know. That's
yeah.
What we all should be doing.
Fantastic, like, you know. Yes.
Where we live, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. And look, anybody with a disability, and unfortunate as it is, whether they're born with it or an incident happens where they become that way inclined, it's about looking up and living life. It's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to it is what I'm picking up, Jonas.
Yeah, man, like, you know, like, stuff happens, you know. Life carries on, and there are certain things which happen to all of us, and we all have our little setbacks in life, and I believe you know, like, you deal with the cards given and you're trying to make the best out of it, basically, you know, and it's not easy, and it helps having a supportive family, friends around you, and all these things which make it easy. And I believe we're pretty well looked after in Australia, you know.
Yes, yes.
I've been in other parts of the world, and, you know, I can call myself pretty lucky to have a disability and live in this country and not in Papua New Guinea, for example, and stuff, where social services are a lot worse. So I think we get given the opportunity in Australia to really, you know, to do something. Even though we got a disability, it doesn't stop life for you. Like, life carries on. And it's difficult. You got to find the right people to network with and, like, find like-minded people who see things and value things the same way. And then I think anything is possible, really, you know.
Well, exactly. And you get it together, you know, with people with disability or not. And you're finding people without disability, are they at the table as well in support and passion to help you guys or help people move forward, yes?
Yeah, I think, you know, like the Bricks and the Breeze social hub I'm trying to start here in the PN Cairns is, I think it's so young still. It's really hard to judge if it's going to work out in the end, but I'm going to put everything I got behind it, you know.
Good,
and
good.
I think it will work out. And the people, like, well, I've got a lot of kids super interested and people are responding pretty well to it, and I think it's important to normalize disability around kids as well, you know?
Yes, yes.
Like that, which is a big thing, you know? Like, you go in the city and people, oh, look at this guy in the wheelchair, and they point, and the parents say, oh, don't point, you know? But kids, they're really curious, and, like,
I see
that in a good way, and I think it's important to have people or humans with disability around kids and normalize that. And to tell you the truth, you know, I see a lot of people who have physical disabilities who are visible, but I see a lot of other people who, you know, who have invisible disabilities, or some people even disable themselves a lot more than they have to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, it's really, like, if you're a quadriplegic, you carry your disability on the outside, you know, like, obviously, you're in a chair, that's obvious.
Sure.
But, you know, your brain is still the same, your brain still works, and you can still do stuff and figure out ways around it with help and assistance. And I think for a lot of people who help people with disability, it's pretty rewarding too, you know. I think people should be more in that area and trying to help each other out to you know, make a social impact and make a change, you know. Change is a team sport after all, so, you know, that's what it's all about, I think.
Look, fantastic. I'm loving your attitude and your enthusiasm, and you're an entrepreneur, business person, businessman. Look, make it happen, brother. Make it happen. Great talking with you, and congratulations in regarding living life and living life to the fullest. Look, even though you're quadriplegic, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you're alive and you're doing something with it. That in itself is inspiration, but bringing more people to the table as well, you know. Thank you for your yarn, my friend. And listen, all the best to you. Take care, and we'll yarn soon, right, brother?
Thank you very much, Trevor. Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jonas. Deadly yarn there. Jonas Lukey, his name is, quadriplegic and disability advocate. And look, it is Disability Action Week. That's November 24 right through to 1 December. And Disability Advocate calls for urgent social inclusion improvement. So we need to do our bit, you mob. So if you know of anybody or see anybody disabled, what have you, reach out for a helping hand or a smile or whatever it can be, or just even have a conversation. There it is. Do your bit, you mob. We are all in this together, are we not? This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, National Talk Black, have your say, and yarn up strong, you mob. Too deadly.
Oh, well, let's get me some money.
Yeah. Oh, we get it spot on.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Gather round, people, I'll tell you a story.
an 8-year long story, power and pride, the British Lord Vestey and Vincent Lingari were opposite men on opposite sides.
Vestey was fat with money and muscle. Beef was his business, broad was his dough. Vincent was lean, spoke very little. He had no bank balance, hard dirt was his floor.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Gurindji were working, nothing but rations. Once they had gathered the wealth of the land, daily depression got tighter and tighter. Gurindji decided they must make a stand.
They picked up their swags, started off walking at Wadi Creek. They sat themselves down. Now it don't sound like much, but it sure got tongues talking back at the homestead and then in the town.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Vestey man said, I double your wages. $7 a week you have in your hand. Vincent said, we're not talking about wages. We're sitting right here till we get our land.
Vestey man roared, Vestey man thundered. You don't stand a chance of a cinder in snow. Vincent, if we fall, others arising.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Then Vincent Lingari, he boarded an airplane, landed in Sydney, big city of lights. Daily he went round, softly speaking his story to all kinds of men from all walks of life.
Vincent sat down with them big politicians. This affair, they told him, it's a matter of state. Let us sort it out. Why are people hungry? Vincent said, no thanks. We know how to wait.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Then Vincent Lingari returned in an airplane back to his country once more to sit down. He told his people, let the stars keep on turning. We have friends in the south, in the cities and towns.
Eight years went by, eight long years of waiting, till one day a tall stranger appeared in the land. He came with lawyers, came with great ceremony, threw Vincent's fingers, poured a handful of sand.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. That was the story of Vincent Lingari. This is the story of something much more. Of power and privilege cannot move a people who know where they stand and they stand in their law. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. From
listening to National Talk Black.
I met you in the mango rain. The sun
National Talk Black.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the country thanks to the NIRS, National Israeli Service. Yana Strong, have you say, you mob. Now to Delhi, North Queensland. Ancient Indigenous fire knowledge can help farmers unite communities and transform lives. We're going to catch up with Yana now with Richard Houlihan and also Karen Vidler and talk about the space that they operate in with traditional owners and talking about using fire as the knowledge as a tool. A very good morning to you both. Hi, Richard. Hi, Karen.
Good morning, Kevin.
Yeah, yep, Trevor, thank you. And Karen? Good morning, Karen.
Morning, Trevor.
All right, we'll start with you, Karen. Who your mob were you from, sister?
I work with NQ Dry Tropics, and yep. I'm here in Townsville on Mulgarukaba country.
Okay, lovely.
So I've been helping out with the bring everyone together and help do all the requirements to get the funding for the project.
Yes.
My leadership, I'm led by the traditional owner management group. They give me direction on where they want to take it in terms of the cultural authority of the project.
Yes.
And same with 5-6 Alliance, we work with them. And they really lead in terms of the cultural knowledge.
Good.
And us as an organisation, we're just there to support so that they can,
We're talking about male and females at the table, yes?
Yep,
beautiful. Yep. And Richard,
young and old,
beautiful. Yes, Richard, give us the makeup of your mob and what you guys do and who your mob are.
Well, my people are the Googlebarton people, and the capital city of Googlebarton land is Greenvale, North Queensland.
Yes,
240 kilometres northwest of Townsville, and yeah, we live in a beautiful part of the world.
Fantastic. So tell us about when you're saying that fire knowledge can help farmers unite communities and transform farms, grazies are keen to learn from traditional owners, and that's a fantastic platform as such, and great to see that the grazies are open-minded and open with heart and spirit and regarding the education. We're all students for life, are we not, Richard?
We are. One of the great things about this is working in collaboration with the farmers, we're able to do surveys of their land in relation to the types of plants and weeds and stuff that they've got. And then through good fire, we help burn the weeds out and get the good plants growing so that we've got a good outcome, not only for country, but for the wildlife and the animals that are living out there.
And Richard, you have rangers working alongside you as well?
My traditional owner group don't have rangers as such. We work very closely with the Girigan Rangers.
All right.
And we have had a number of workshops out at Javoy Station, which brings around 8 to 12 traditional owners groups in to do the training. And then once we've trained up those groups, we then work together to work on different country to do projects.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic. So have we had the actual engagement with graziers? Tell us about that platform. Karen?
So a few of the graziers, at the start of the project, it was going out and everyone having a look at different areas, and they showed us some of the areas that they had problems with and explained of how those problems had come about. Like some had clear felled areas and then had some had woody thickening problems, and they tried all different approaches to deal with those problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then we looked at some areas, they have weed issues on some of the... We have two properties that said, yeah, we're willing to give this a go, two different grazing properties, willing to give this a go, and they were open enough to try it.
Yes.
So then when we went out and worked with them of what were the issues that they had, and we had Victor Stephenson was the lead one from...
Yeah, Uncle Victor, from up this way, too deadly, the fellow full of knowledge, isn't he?
He is. He's got a lot in that head.
Exactly.
So it was really just talking, listening. That I think is the approach of that holistic way of going, okay, well, let's just sit down and what have you done, where has it been? Like, so it wasn't him coming up and saying, oh, you've got to do this and you've got to do that here.
Yes.
There was a lot of talking.
Oh, good, yeah.
So that was decided on which areas that we would work on and demonstrate, because a lot of fire management, and in this region, a lot of knowledge had been lost.
Exactly.
So the elders and all the traditional owner management groups, they recognised that, and they were open and said, well, let's rebuild some of that knowledge base.
Yes.
It's this region, as you know, down in the Burdekin region, it's been pretty... devastated for the traditional owner communities. Not many people live on country anymore, and a lot of knowledge has been lost. Some groups have got strong knowledge systems. So bringing all that together. So at the start, really, Richard, it was a bit like a healing, wasn't it? It was understanding of, you know, and some had learned fire, the rural fire way, or the Queensland Parks way, or a different way.
Exactly. I was just going to say, Richard, when you look at it, we as First Nation people, 60,000 years, and we're still living, so we must have an idea of how to survive, you know, and using the tools available. Fire is one of the tools. And it's inspirational. We are professors in this field, you could say, but it's a game changer. It is cultural at its best, but also an educational tool, I would think, Richard.
Yeah, well, with all the traditional owners and going through the learnings that we went through and identifying the plants and identifying the actions that flowed from that, so cool burning and when to burn and, you know, whether you burn after rain and or before rain and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
We went through a process where we test burned different areas and then, you know, watch the results. Months later, we'd go back and have a check and see what happened there. And
nourishment.
What happened was that we were able to revitalise the country because plants that had been dormant for a long time had started coming up, and they were the natural plants for the area. But the plants that weren't natural, the bad stuff, the trees and the grass and what they didn't want there, were eliminated.
Yes, exactly. So it's a powerful tool in that sense. So it must be inspirational to the traditional owners to see their training, their culture coming into fruition, and also an opportunity to educate our younger brothers and sisters coming through as well.
That's correct. So it was very inspiring in that we were able to, one, do the project on country, but we were also reviving our knowledge and also being a part of a project which fixes up our country is really a good feeling because when the country heals, you know, we start healing too.
Exactly. Spiritual, all the above. Look, thank you very much for sharing, Richard. Fantastic. Congratulations to you and Karen. Congratulations to the mob. And also congratulations to the Graziers, open-minded and open heart and spirit to learning the ways. Look, thank you. I think it's a fantastic story. And thank you for sharing. And all the best to both of you.
Thank you very much, Trip.
Thanks, Richard.
Have a great day.
You too, Karen. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
A deadly yarn there, Karen Vidler, her name is, partnership coordinator with NQ Dry Tropics, and also Richard Houlihan, Gugu Barun, and he's traditional owner and chair of the NQ Dry Tropics as well. So fantastic, good information. And we're talking about North Queensland. Ancient Indigenous fire knowledge can help farmers unite communities and transform lives. And graziers are keen to learn from the traditional owners. So a beautiful, bridge and two-way street. There it is. Get the education. Let's get it together. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan, or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
Did you know that drinking any alcohol while you're pregnant can harm your bub? It's hard to stop drinking, but if you choose to drink alcohol while you're pregnant, it can leave your bub with all sorts of problems that can last their whole life. Remember, pregnancy and grog don't mix. If you need to yarn about it, visit your local Aponipama Clinic and Wellbeing Centre. We're here to help. Our health and our bubba's health is in our hands.
Station sponsor.
National Talk Black.
Okay.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, first of its kind, framework will be embed Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island values in GP training. Look, it's talking about values, ways of being and doing will be embedded in GP education training Australia-wide with a new framework being implemented by the Royal Australian College of GPs. That's RACGP. And with that, we're going to talk to Dr. Olivia O'Donoghue, National Clinic Head of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Training at RACP, and got her online. Dr. Olivia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, we are students for life, are we not?
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Mob for life, students for life.
Exactly. And look, I'm so excited to hear about this. We're talking first of its kind framework to be embed Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island values in GP training. And thanks to Royal Australian College of GPs, this is now going to be in the education system, yes?
Yes, definitely. So all GPs in training right across Australia will be privy to everything that's in the framework, which includes cultural education, cultural safety training, being part of a community of practice. And my favourite part is creating spaces for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander GPs to thrive.
Fantastic.
And become leaders in this space as well.
Fantastic. So everything starts with a conversation. Everything starts with a thought. Yeah, beginning's half done. How did this come about? What communication was done with First Nation people to make this a part of the training? Tell us the journey, please.
Yeah, so I identify as Yankuna Jara with Grandmother Connections to Narunga Nations, and I've worked as a GP and a cultural educator and medical educator in general practice training for over 10 years now.
Good, good.
And I came in to work at the college in 2020.
Yes.
After having a very passionate career in cultural education and medical education, and was asked to help consult on the move from back to college-led training. And as part of that consultation, myself and our senior cultural educator, Marlene Drysdale, really spoke to lots of people when we realised we needed something bigger than just a discussion paper on college-led training. We really wanted to embed a really robust, comprehensive cultural and health training framework in the way in which we deliver Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health and cultural training and cultural safety training to all GPs, but also what are the enhanced opportunities to work in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health and specialise, because we know everybody needs to do this work, because you don't, it doesn't matter where you work, you're going to see Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander patients. But we also want to create spaces for people who want to specialise in this work as well.
Yeah. Dr. Olivia, I see this as a game changer, but also a bridge builder, you know. And this is for all GPs who are in training. They get to do this work as well as part of their education, their degree as such. And that's got to be a win-win for all involved, yes?
Yes, definitely. I love that you said game changer and bridge builder, because this framework is really guided by 12 principles, and those 12 guiding principles are really about acknowledging the sovereignty of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and working towards leadership and equity for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people within the consultation process, and also looking at how we can decolonise, deconstruct and reconstruct our training program so that it's enhanced using Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander values and ways of knowing, being and doing, so that we can embed them into enhance the training program for everybody, not just for our mob. Because we think if you do business in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health right, then you do health right for everybody in our community. So we're really, really passionate about that. We also looked at having a real strengths-based approach, using trauma-informed approaches in the way that we do business and the way that we design our education program, and also looking at how do we eliminate racism, whether it be systemic racism within our processes or whether it be interpersonal or even intrapersonal racism. How can we minimise the impact of that within our system and make mob feel strong to come through our system as well?
Dr. Olivia, pardon the punt, but this is good medicine.
It's the best medicine.
It is the best medicine. Exactly, exactly. And we're talking about Indigenous or non-Indigenous practitioners getting trained up. There's the education as well in that space, you know. And then when a GP then gets transferred or gets an opportunity to work in First Nation communities, for example, they've virtually got a foot in the door. They're virtually a part of the community with the education. Knowledge is power, is it not?
Yeah, and we're creating more and more opportunities for our trainees to work in the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Service as well as in any government-run Aboriginal medical services as well, so that we've got more training opportunities for more people to dip their toes in a really supported way that's good for them but is also safe for communities as well. So we really want to work with those medical services who want to have general practice training in their spaces to make sure that it's safe and works for them as well.
Exactly. Dr. Olivia, I also see this as an opportunity. Well, it's a fantastic platform that then entices young Indigenous students finishing grade 12 an opportunity to go into becoming a doctor because of what's in place, what's on the platform. This is a draw card.
Part of our pipeline yarn is all about how can we make a career as a health professional and a doctor more visible to our youth and our children, and introduce them to role models and supporters and mentors who can support them through this pathway as well. What I'm really passionate about is workforce equity for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander doctors. I've been working in this space for a really long time, and every time we have a new GP trainee get their fellowship and become a fully fledged GP, it just makes me cry. I feel like I feel like a mama bear.
And good on you.
And it's just, it makes my heart sing. And being part of people's journey to that, and then seeing their children and their children's children look up to role models who are doctors and general practitioners is just amazing. I mean, we need that in all the health professions.
We do.
And we've still got a long way to go to get to workforce equity across all the health professions, especially in medicine, doctors and GPs.
Well, beginning is half done, so this is fantastic. And once again, congratulations. And success breeds success. And this platform will create that as such. And look, thank you very much for your yarn, Dr. Olivia, and all the best to your team. And to all our future doctors out there, there is a beautiful platform here. And let's get it together. Dr. Olivia, thank you so very much.
Yeah, well, I have a wonderful team and lots of medical educators out there to identify. So if you meet them, just give them a shout out and ask them about our framework. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Olivia, all the best to you. Take care. Keep smiling. We'll yarn soon.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. Bye. Beautiful yarn. Dr. Olivia O'Donoghue is her name, National Clinic Head of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Training, RACGP, and that's the Royal Australian College of GPs. Look fantastic. They're including in their training, first of its kind framework, will be embed Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander values in GP training. So as you get your doctor degree, you also will be studying Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander values. That's a part of the curriculum, isn't that deadly? Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Yarn Up Strong, your mob. National Talk Black, too deadly.
Bagan, bagan. patiently waiting for someone I ain't never seen before to say he's a captain of men, but ain't believing our love. From the land of the white skin, he's self-righteous, a murder without license. With the spear, I'm the nicest, thinking that I might just wait till night hits. Then I move in silence,
over my land.
When the moon at its highest,
nobody can,
and my soul is defined. I'm consumed by desire to kill. Any white devil wanna test my will, then he finna get burnt by the fire I feel. Look him in the eye and hold his spirit still. He's hoping I don't catch him, but I know I will.
Standing on the shoreline,
Cooperman coming.
Might not wanna cross mine,
wanna take it from me.
Fire in my eye,
but we ain't running.
Wanna murder, let's ride.
Standing on the shoreline,
say that it came in peace, but our blood still stains the beach. Roll the dice, we gon' play for keeps. The sacred place ain't a place to preach.
No, no, no.
No white faith and a black belief.
No, no, no.
Better pray that our spears don't reach. He's cold, white, hot, I'ma make it bleed. Leading to the first fleet, sicker than disease that he bring from overseas. No matter where you flee, I will always be. In the darkest of night, your descendant will see me.
Standing on the shoreline,
Cooperman coming.
Might not wanna cross mine,
wanna take it from me.
Fire in my eye,
but we ain't running.
Wanna murder, let's ride.
Tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls while we does it by them in the surface of it work. We're making holes in the earth to track in the hurt. For what you thought we could be worth, we saw it work. We're making tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls while we does it by them in the surface of it work. We're making holes in the earth to track in the hurt. For what you thought we could be worth, we saw it. You must have me, Sambala Ryan. I take our rib, Akamasi Island. Born and bred where Kyoto Island. Busy not to fly, must fly, go by again. Another after MB full blood, new in mind. Another after MB cell come from Jamaica. With the coming of the light, now July 1. Sends a light blown Torres Strait Island. How much the young you bad when after become? After matter make a dance, after make it the marker. And man no understand, when we shake a hand, me plan make it one plan. We not playing for fun, fun. Them come once it's time, we snag a band. Woman naga man, bullet no got no gun. I mean no got hand to command man. From make it wrong decision, them kind. But we no sabe, see them at the work. We don't make it tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it, by them in the surface of it work. We don't make it holes in the earth, tracking the hurt. For what you thought, we could be worth, we sabe work. We don't make it tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it, by them in the surface of it work. We don't make it holes in the earth, tracking the hurt. For what you thought, we could be worth, we sabe. Mama, you go walk, but not sabe where you from. Mata love and pay respects to those before us. Pass and go from diver to a dove now. Look above, sign up the gabba gab. Mata listen club, them kind was in Mara.
Bala make a damn kind, you gon' matter stop. Bombay then can what say cool your password walk now. Nah. Then can what say speed your password one more rap. How matter ya new bad when out there we come. Out there matter make it work, make him sun up to sun down. Make it plenty pound, dive a matter down. When he sell him, them keep it a millions, hundreds and thousands. Them kind was a waiting naga vow. Boti naga bow, farmer naga no cow. Law is speaking all out, Bogani go pop. From sissy walk up from inside south. Then it now, but we know sabe, see them at the world. With them make it tracks in the dirt. Diving for pearls, why we does it by them in the surface of a world. With them make it holes in the earth to track in the hurt. But what you thought, we could be with me sabe world. With them make it tracks in the dirt. Diving for pearls, why we does it by them in the surface of a world. With them making holes in the earth, tracking the herd. But what you thought, we could be worth me something. Diplomata work. Diplomata work. Diplomata work. With them making tracks in the dirt. Diving for pearls while we does it by them in the surface.